The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. I don't want to be extra long tonight. I realize we all put in long days here, and we serve the Lord, and we give it everything that we've got. But I do want us to look at a Bible truth tonight, and I want us to take it line upon line, precept upon precept, as we look at the Word of God tonight, to be able to get some things that will help us, okay? Because as we examine this old man, what is it that we're supposed to do with this old man? Now, we're talking about the old nature. We're talking about that which is your flesh. We're talking about that which creeps up from time to time and tries to destroy us. And so let's look at it again. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says, lie not, it says, one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man, it says, with his deeds. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and have put on the new man. So you have the putting off, and you have the putting on. Now, don't we teach that to our young people? We say you ought to stop listening to wrong music, but don't just stop listening to wrong music. Put the right music in there. Is there not a Bible verse that says, cease to do evil? That's an abrupt halt. And then it says, learn to do good. All right, and so there's that learning process. So here in the Bible, Paul is saying, here's what we need to do. We need to put off that which is the old man with his deeds. And in verse 10, he says, and it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So the Bible teaches here that there's the putting off and then there's the putting on. Now, many years ago, there was Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin collapsed there before the parliament. When he collapsed before the parliament, everybody started rejoicing. People started shouting. They thought that he had died. They thought that this evil dictator had collapsed and had stopped breathing. And lo and behold, he had not collapsed and died. He just collapsed from exhaustion. And as he rose up from the ground where he had fallen on, the floor that he had fallen on, he took special note of all those that were cheering for joy and clapping, and he had them executed. Now, may I say that sometimes the old man will rise up again. And when the old man rises up again in your life, he causes trouble. And if he causes enough trouble, he could destroy you as well. James chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now, what is that? That is that old man rising up. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, and the Spirit, capital S, talking about Holy Spirit, against the flesh. The Bible says, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And so there's always going to be that battle on the inside. I don't care who you are tonight. I don't care how long you've been saved tonight. I don't care how much Bible knowledge you know tonight. I don't care how faithful you are to church tonight. I don't care how much you are classified as a great Christian tonight. I don't care what your soul winning technique or your skills are tonight. You're always going to have a battle with the flesh. Now let me show you a couple of things tonight on how to get victory over the old man. What is it that we could do tonight to be able to get victory over that which is the flesh? Let me give you some statements. The change of the new life. You know, when you get saved, what happens is the Holy Ghost of God quickens you. Now, when he quickens you, he makes you alive. Something takes place in your life. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, and if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, watch what it says in verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And so the Bible says that now that you have been quickened, now that you have been made alive, now that you are saved, he said you have to decide, even though that you have been made alive, you have been quickened, you have been risen with Christ, you have to decide that you're going to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Now that is something that you have to decide. Now, just because you're saved does not mean your flesh is saved. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're always going to think the right things and have a desire to do the right things. So here we see that Paul is admonishing those that are at Colossae. He says, I'm just telling you that what you have to do is to set your affection on things above. Now, what is the affections that we ought to set our mind on? Is those things that are above. He says, not on those things that are on the earth. So whatever is affecting you will eventually affect you. If you allow the wrong things, you take the wrong things in over and over and over. Look, all you have to do is eat a little bit of poison, and that little bit of poison will destroy you. So it would be far better not to take in that little bit of poison. It would be far better to take in that which is good. What you take in is what you're going to put out. When you hear somebody walking down the hallway and they're singing and they're bouncing to a certain type of song that is a worldly, sensual, godless type of song, you know in order to do that, they had to put it in. When you hear somebody telling a dirty joke, you know in order to be able to produce that out, they had to put it in. When you see somebody that is doing things that are fleshly, that are worldly, that are sensual, can I tell you, in order for it to come out here, they have to be feeding on it down here. And so we understand that there is that which affects us. And God says we're supposed to take those things, those affections. What does it mean to have an affection? That means that you have a mind on it. That means that you have set other things aside to be able to focus on it. If you were not focusing on wrong music, it would not be coming out here. If you were not focusing on wrong attitude, it would not be coming out here. If you were not focusing on wrong things, it would not be coming out here. So we understand where a person's focus is, that's what is going to be revealed in them outwardly eventually. All they're doing is showing you the lack of dedication, consecration that they have in their life, and that's why it's coming out here. Now, wait a minute. What is this that we're talking about? Look in your Bible. Well, let me just read you a couple of things. But in Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 3, the Bible says here, the Bible says, ye are dead. It says, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So when you become a Christian, understand that before you get saved, as I said this morning, you're dead in trespasses and sin before you get saved. All right? But now, wait a minute. There comes a day when God quickens you. Now, when God quickens you, he makes you alive. Holy Ghost of God comes to resonate, if you would please, comes to abide inside of you, and you're quickened, you're made alive in Christ Jesus. But there is some things that we're supposed to die to. There is some things that we are supposed to be able to put aside. You know as well as I know, because you've come up, no doubt many of you that sit in this room tonight, you have come up underneath great preaching in your life. No doubt most of you that have been fundamental Baptists have been reared up with godly preachers standing behind pulpits, and they've been heralding aloud that which is the Word of God with great strength, power, vigor, and truth. So it's not something tonight that we have to be able to teach you anew. Now, some it is tonight. You've just been saved, and you have to understand along with us that's been saved a long time that both of us have the same flesh. Both of us could fall into temptation. But just like that compass, if you would please, that needle on that compass that always would point to that which is the north, you and I ought also decide that our compass ought to be pointing heavenly because of the fact of Jesus Christ dwelling with inside of us. There needs to be some principles. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. There needs to be some principles. Ask yourself some questions tonight. Listen, am I able to do this to the glory of God? Now, if God has delivered you and God has saved you and God has given you a new home, then you ought to be able to honor him and put him first. How do you do that? Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. So God says that once you become dead to that sin, All right, you have trouble with smoking. What do? You become dead towards that. You decide that I'm not going to touch that. That my hands are paralyzed to the point and to the place I will not pick it up. It's dirty. It's unclean. I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to be dead towards that. You decide that in every aspect of your life. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, wait a minute. Another reason that we ought to decide that we're going to be dead towards those things is not just because of the fact that when you're saved, God quickens you. God makes you alive. He gives you a new desire. There's a desire. I set my affection on things above. I'm excited about things above. Before you got saved, you might have never been excited about somebody getting saved, but because you are saved tonight, you can identify with the blood of Christ. You can identify that Jesus Christ bore his own blood. He shed his own blood on Calvary, and when somebody gets saved, you shout amen. Why? Because you identify with that. Here's what you're identifying with. You're identifying with the fact that you have a new destiny. That person has a new destiny because they're saved. You're saved, and you get excited because they're saved. Why? Because God changed you on the inside. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying tonight that there's a new life. There is a new life that God gave you. When God gave you that new life, there's a desire that he put inside of you to be able to see other people come to know Christ as Savior. Not only does he put that desire inside of you, you understand what it is to be delivered. And we had people walk the aisle this morning, receive Jesus Christ as Savior, and can I tell you, we can identify with that tonight. Amen. You know why? Because there was a day when you walked an aisle. There was a day when you bowed your heart, and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And now you know that you are hid in Christ. You'll never lose it. Had one amen. I said, you will never lose it. Because you are hid in Christ. But wait a minute. Not only should I walk away from that which is the old man because of that, man, I've got a new destiny. You know, one day you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you realize that that is the Bema seat? That is the place of reward for the believer? Why don't you shoot for something? Shoot for something. Come on, when you play basketball, you play it with all your vigor. When you play soccer, you play it with all your vigor. When you get out there and you play volleyball, you give it all you've got. So pray tell me tonight, why don't we do that with the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't we decide tonight that we're going to give it all of our vigor? Hey, put away the sinful things. Get them out of your life. Rise up. Serve God. Stop playing around with the things of the world. Stop getting entangled with the things that's bowing you down. And you decide tonight, you'll put Christ first and keep Christ first all the days of your life. Look, I'm saying tonight, there's the challenge of the new life. We're talking about the old man. There is the challenge of the new life. Do you want it or do you not want it? Come on, you know as well as I know, when you sin, you feel bad. If you got a Holy Ghost inside of you tonight, when you sin, you do something wrong, you feel bad. Why do you want to put yourself through the process? Why don't you just decide tonight that you're going to feed that new man? Why don't you decide tonight that over and over again, you're going to put the emphasis where God says to put the emphasis instead of going through the struggle? You keep going through the struggle and you keep going back over and over again. Well, I know I shouldn't smoke. Well, I know I shouldn't do that liquor. Well, I know I shouldn't pump drugs. Well, I know I shouldn't be a gossiper. Well, I know that I shouldn't do this and I shouldn't do that. And you know it. Well, pray tell me tonight, dear beloved, if you know it, why in the world are you doing it? I'm saying tonight there's the change of the new life. Step number two, there's the challenge of the new life. Can I tell you it's negative? Listen to it. Look at it. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 5. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, compasses. Listen to what it says. Covetousness, which is idolatry. So here's what he talks about. He says, now look, he said, those things right there, he said, you're going to have to put them to death. Mortify simply means this. It means to put to death, like a mortician. Well, I've never been down to a mortuary. I do not want to ever, while I'm alive. Years ago when I pastored in Tennessee, there was a man that I had the privilege to influence, and he was going to become a member of our church. And he said, "Preacher, why don't you come visit me?" And I said, "Where do you live?" And at that time, from what I understood, he had an apartment that was there at the funeral home. And he said, "Why don't you come visit me?" And I said, "I don't want to come visit you." He said, "Well, if I don't come, I'll never tithe." I said, "Keep it. I don't want to come down there." But eventually he did come. Eventually he did get baptized. And eventually he did join the church. And eventually became an outstanding member of the church. But may I say, there's nothing that turns a man on, I believe, like death. That doesn't turn a man on. I mean, death is not going to turn a man on. I mean, who's turned on by death? I want to live as long as I can, and then some if I can. I like to be like a Hezekiah. The Lord comes to Hezekiah, and of course he's about to die, and he goes to the Lord, and he reminds the Lord about all the things that he did, and God gave him 15 more years. Well, I'd like for God to hear my prayer if that be my case. Now I'm saying, look, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says that they were children of disobedience. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says they walked sometimes. It says walked sometime, it says, when ye lived in them. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, and now ye also, it says, to put off what? It says these, anger and wrath and malice. And it says, blasphemy. And it says, that which is a filthy communication out of your mouth. He said, put these things away. Then he says to lie not, it says, one to another. So he's saying all these things right here, we've got to decide that that's a natural thing. You know, it's a natural thing to become angry. It's a natural thing to have wrath. It's a natural thing for you to revert to your flesh and have filthy communication. Those are natural things. Now the Apostle Paul is naming these things in two groups. Here's what he's doing. He's naming that which is sensual sense, those that appeal to the senses, fornication and uncleanness. He's naming those things. Then he's coming down as he continues to name those things and inordinate affection. And he's talking about that evil concupiscence. And then he's going down and he's naming more things that are the sensual things. Then he comes down to the social sense. The anger and the wrath and the malice and the blasphemy and the filthy communication and the lying. He says, look, all these things are natural. So if a person is lying, all they're doing is they're showing they're in the flesh. If a person is, spreading that which is malice or blasphemy. Blasphemy was something that they were called the gossipers, and they would gossip about the work of God and gossip about the man of God. And God, because he chose a man of God, looked at that as a person attacking he himself and called it blasphemy. Now, wait a minute, watch this. And then there's that filthy, foul language, that coarse humor, that those obscene gestures and stuff like that. And then there's that lying that is just less than the truth, but is still lying. Right. Somebody said it's a white lie. Doesn't matter if it's a white lie, a brown lie, or a black lie, it's still a lie. Right. Well, it's only half of a truth. It's still a lie. Now, may I say tonight, here's what we see. The Apostle Paul comes back and he says, look, you got a challenge now. Now that you're saved, you are saved. You're saved by grace, but you're not going to get rid of the old man. You've got to decide to mortify the flesh. You've got to decide to put him to death. By the way, my daddy for a long time, he smoked. And my daddy tried to quit smoking. And he tried everything under heaven to quit smoking. Back then they had patches. And you put a patch on, and it was supposed to deter the appetite, the addiction, the draw to smoke. Didn't work. He tried everything he could on their son until one day he decided that's it. He laid it down. He said, that's it. And he walked away, and he never picked it up again. Now, he just decided that's it. And by the way, until you decide that's it, you can wear all the patches you want all the way down your spine. It doesn't matter until you decide. Until you decide that I'm going to walk away from something that is hurting me, and you decide that you're going to put it off. That's how come the Bible says we're supposed to put it off, put it off, put it off, put it off, put it off. It's a choice. And if you don't put it off, eventually it will take you down. You say, but you know, disobeying my parents, that's not such a big deal. To God, it's a big deal. Well, you know, I don't think that I ought to give them the honor. God says you're supposed to honor them. It does not matter what you think. It matters what God says. See, we have to decide that God is right. Let me give you one last thing and I'm done. How about the characteristics of the new life? I want you to watch this. There's the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in verse 12. Watch this. The Bible says, and put on therefore, it says, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So here's what he's saying. He's saying there is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when you are walking with God, it's going to come out. We've said often, if you squeeze an orange, orange juice should come out. If you squeeze somebody that is sour, bitter, then sour and bitterness will come out. If you squeeze somebody that is forgiving and kind and loving, when you squeeze them, that which is kindness and love and forgiveness, it automatically comes out. So what you are under pressure reveals who you really are. Because when you're under pressure, that's when the real you shows up. Somebody said a man's real character is what he is in the dark when nobody else is looking. That's what a man's real character is. So if that be true, now can I tell you tonight, and nobody knows you. Boy, if we could get back to some old-fashioned personal holiness. Yes, sir. You would be better off, your family would be better off, your neighbors would be better off, our community would be better off. But here's what we want. We want an answer quick. We want it quick. You know, just tell me what to do, preacher. Tell me the solution now. I'll come to your office and I got this big problem. Please tell me how to fix it in 5 minutes. Tell me the 1, 2, 3, and I'll go out and I'll do it, and I'll put it in place, and everything can be fine. If it took you 17 years to mess your life up, you think you're going to get it straight in 7 minutes? Sometimes it takes a lifetime to straighten the mess out, but we want it straightened out right now. And can I tell you, as long as your flesh is feeding that which is your mind, you'll never get straightened out. Watch what it says. We'll finish up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any have quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, ye also, the Bible says, so also do ye. So wait a minute, what is it? How do you know if the new man is being fed? How do you know if the new man is growing? How do you know if we're heading the right direction? Well, first off, let me ask you a question. How's the fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life? Are you giving mercy? Are you giving forgiveness? Are you giving love? What is coming out? What are you talking about? What is identifying the real you on the inside? Are you forgiving the saints? Well, somebody did me wrong. Welcome to the human race. Are you forgiving those that do you wrong? Well, they don't deserve my forgiveness. Neither do you, but Christ did for you what he commands you to do to them. So are you forgiving them? By the way, we can tell if you forgave them by your speech and what you say about them when we're in your presence. You know, somebody says, well, I forgave them. Then why are you still talking bad about them? Well, I forgave them. Then why are you so negative? Because if you really forgave them, and it's going to come out. But if you haven't forgiven them, it's going to also come out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, and above all these things, it says, put on charity. So it says, wait a minute, above that which is the mercy, above that which is the kindness, above that which is the humility of the mind, above that which is the meekness, above that which is the long-suffering, above that which is the forgiving one another, above that which is being one that does not quarrel one against another, above all these things, he said, I'm going to tell you, above all these things, put on charity. Now, by the way, that means you got to put it on. You ever hear somebody say, look, put on your smiling face? Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Because it would be better for you to put something on than not put something on. You ever hear your parents say, change your attitude? And inside your heart, you're thinking, I can't change my attitude. Well, you can if you want to. See, here's what he says. He says to put on charity. Watch this. He says to put on charity, it says, which is the bond of what? Perfectness. In other words, he's saying this is how we can tell if you're really mature. Is if you're able to love somebody that doesn't love you. If you're able to forgive somebody that will not forgive you. If you're able to be able to have meekness in your life and no pride about the elements that hit you on the side. Hey, if you're able to do that and do it in love and have long-suffering in love and have bowels of mercy in love and have the humbleness and the speech in love and yet still forgive them. He said, now! Looks like you're touching a little bit of maturity. Now watch this, and I'm done. Here it is. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me, Brother Wells, how is it somebody walks around and says, I don't have peace. I just don't have peace. I just don't understand. I don't have peace. We just told you how to get it. You've got to put to death that old man. You have got to decide that God, you surrender. And I'm talking about you totally surrender to God. Work, get along with him. Meet with him. Be honest with him. Ask him to reveal things inside of you that's messed up. Go to him and be honest. Like David did. And David asked him to just reveal those things inside of him that he himself could not even see. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what it says. The Bible says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, it will not happen if you don't put to death that old man. You're going to get your feelings hurt, and when you get your feelings hurt, you're going to want to hurt somebody else that hurt your feelings. Because that old man is still very much alive. The Bible says, let the peace of God rule your heart. Watch it, ruin your hearts. It says, to the which also ye are called in one body. And it says, and be ye thankful. You don't want to find out people that are living in the flesh are not thankful people. But somebody that is completely given over to the Lord is thankful. You know why? Because they've got a peace inside of their heart. I'll give you a closing illustration. Many years gone by, the ancient Roman custom was this, that here was a man that had murdered someone. They would take the corpse of the person that they had murdered, and many times they would tie the corpse of the murdered person to the person that was the murderer. Now, please listen. As that corpse began to get diseased, I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but would begin to rot, all the diseases now would enter into that other man's body. Can I tell you that's what the flesh does? Until you mortify it and decide I'm going to lay it down, here's what you're doing. You're carrying around that old man. And as you're carrying around that old man, no wonder it is so heavy and hard to serve Jesus Christ. No wonder you're having such a difficult time. Because you have not put that old man to death. And all of a sudden it rises up again. And by the way, you can't hide it if you're carrying it around. If I put a stuffed dummy, on the back of somebody tonight, and I turn them loose to walk down the hallway, can I tell you that they would get noticed? If you had a stuffed dummy that you carried with you everywhere you went for one solid day, and you have to go to the grocery store, can I tell you? You would get noticed. As you would get out of your car, people would stare at you. As you went to your doctor, people would recognize you and they would... Now, so why is it that we think that we can walk in the flesh with an attitude that rebounds? Shortness, tension. Why is it that we think that we can walk in the flesh and things annoy us so much that we got to tell everybody about it? And we think that nobody notices that. Somebody says that your thinking is stinking. And it's true. When we walk in the flesh, except people don't just know what you're thinking until you start stinking. And the way that they know that you're stinking is because you're carrying that around with you. Carrying that around. Well, let me tell you, I really disagree with my mom. Let me tell you where my mom's wrong. Are you really that close to the Lord? Really? Well, let me just tell you, there's just some things that bother me. Okay, does everybody in here at any time in their life have anything that ever bothers them? Yes. But here's the tester. How is it affecting you? Is it handling you, or are you handling it? See, there's a difference. If we learn to walk with the Lord can help us to be able to overcome these things and just keep walking on. Can I tell you, you're always going to have a Sanballat and a Tobiah that shows up in your life. But you need to be like a Nehemiah who says, I'm not coming off the wall. I'm not going to waste my time with it. I'm going to still stay doing what God has called me to do. And you have to do that in your personal life. Because if you don't, what happens is you get distracted. Come on. And before you know it, you get down among the rubbish, deeper down among the rubbish, where everybody else is walking in doubt, saying that that wall in your life will never be rebuilt. Because after all, we know the rubbish. Now, can I say this tonight? Can I say that God wants us to understand that new man? Only way we're going to have peace tonight is to be able to mortify, put to death, mortuary, mortician, that which is the flesh. And that's not easy. But every child of God that's in here tonight, if you're a teenager that has a mind that is functionally capable of thinking, knows what I'm talking about. And you know when you say things that does not please God, you know when you do things that do not please God. You know when you have actions that do not please God. And the problem is not you and your mom. The problem is not you and your daddy. The problem is not you and the preacher. The problem is your heart and God. And if we would learn to be able to put to death that old flesh, we come to church, we would enjoy it. Hello. We come to church and say, boy, I just can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be good tonight. God's going to give me something. And by the way, it won't matter who's preaching. It won't matter if they're like me and they walk around a little bit or a lot. Or if they stand behind the pulpit. It doesn't matter if they hit. It doesn't matter if they spit. It doesn't matter if they raise their voice or they speak monotone the whole time. We're not there because of the preacher. We're there because of the goodness of the Word of God. Is your old man dead tonight? Is he dead tonight? Is he dead tonight? Let me listen to your speech. I'll tell you if he is. Let me know what you're listening to, and I'll tell you if he is. Let me see what you're wearing. I'll tell you if he's dead. Let me see what you're hungering and thirsting after that you gotta have. And I'll tell you if you're walking to God, for God, or away from God, and that which is the world.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.